On Robinhood Radio, it's time for the Media Beat from David Tereshchuk, his weekly review of media coverage. David is a multimedia journalist with an online column at themediabeat.com and has reported since 2012 for the PBS network, mainly on ethical issues. He is also the author of a memoir, A Question of Paternity, Life as an Unaffiliated Reporter.
This is David Tereshchuk with the Media Beat for the weekend beginning June 13th, 2025. I will make no apology for it. In this week's media review, I'm going to be decidedly wonky. That's a word with varied, even contrasting meanings, which can be confusing, especially for an American like myself, one who has British origins. We original Brits have long used wonky to indicate someone or something that is off balance, unsteady, not functioning correctly. Which is not how I'd like to appear, of course. But since becoming an American, a naturalized citizen, I've gotten used to wonky being in the US a close synonym for nerdy, describing someone who's fascinated by details and complexities, especially in the matter of politics and policies. So let me focus my wonkiness and be specific in that political and policy-related realm. When it comes to reporting on American politics, possibly the most remarkable and valuable tool available to journalists is a piece of legislation that dates back to the 1960s, the Freedom of Information Act, known mainly by its acronym FOIA. It enshrines a principle that information held by public authorities should be accessible to the public. The U.S. and its 50 state governments and the District of Columbia can be said to lead the world in this kind of transparency provision. Other countries have followed suit, if often only very slowly in some cases. Britain, for instance, didn't enact its version of FOIA until Tony Blair's administration at the beginning of this century. And, of course, there are scores of countries across the world where transparency isn't valued at all. And reporters always face an especially uphill struggle to get at the facts. Examples here in the States of the law's importance are legion. Let me pick one striking instance from just 3 years ago. Reporter Azmat Khan and her employers, the New York Times, were awarded a 2022 Pulitzer Prize for a huge front-page spread headlined "The Civilian Casualty Figures." It was laid out over many column inches on publication day, and then it generated many follow-up articles over successive weeks and months. It was a groundbreaking investigation into collateral civilian deaths resulting from U.S. airstrikes in the Middle East. More than a decade's worth of documentation was analyzed by Khan and her colleagues, more than 5,400 pages of Defense Department records which they obtained through FOIA. A lawsuit, in fact, pursued with the help of attorneys from the Reporters' Committee for Freedom of the Press, based in D.C. Khan and her team gained and aired in public 1,300 internal military assessments of civilian casualties, which would normally have been kept confidential. These revelations in document form, along with thorough, detailed reporting in the field, ended up shattering the myth that the U.S. military's air campaigns in Iraq and Syria, conducted with video-equipped drones and so-called precision bombing, had succeeded in minimizing civilian casualties. The truth was, as spelled out fully in Khan's work, that compared with the somewhat ludicrous official Pentagon count of only 1,400 civilian deaths over the years, the real number was, I quote Khan, drastically higher, possibly even 30 times higher, she finally concluded. So you see, FOIA has its undoubted value in helping to reveal hidden truths. But in the first 5 months of Trump as our president, FOIA has taken a serious beating. Cuts in federal staffing overall have continued even after the acrimonious departure of Elon Musk, the one-time chainsaw-wielding and possibly ketamine-fueled leader of the shadowy Department of Government Efficiency. Sources across the board are telling political journalists that the institutional appetite for slashing staff numbers has been firmly internalized within the administration, and there's been little decline since the heady bromance of billionaires came to a bitter, if comical, end, and Musk has now been replaced in Trump's own angry crosshairs by California's Governor Gavin Newsom, who, incidentally, is emerging as the modern-day version of a state's rights champion. The mass and continued shedding of federal workers has gained considerable media coverage for its broad sweep across government departments and programs, but one specific aspect has not been so greatly remarked upon. A crucial particular casualty has been, and it's a pattern repeated across many areas of the Trump administration, those teams in each area whose job it is, or was, to deal with applications for information under FOIA. What we do know about this targeting of FOIA-centered functionaries largely comes from the Bloomberg news organization. Notably, its well-recognized specialist in probing government secrecy, reporter Jason Leopold. He tells us that alongside the general cutbacks, the staff who are supposed to deal with FOIA applications have been singled out at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Office of Personnel Management, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the National Security Agency, the Central Intelligence Agency, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the Justice Department. The list goes on. At the State Department, for instance, Leopold now calculates that the number of employees and contractors who process FOIA requests has actually been cut in half. Now, Leopold, I need to point out, is something of a titan in this world of FOIA. He single-handedly comes second in the league table of litigants pursuing FOIA lawsuits through the past two decades. I stress single-handedly because he's second only to the big journalistic institution that tops the list, with the most cases being pressed, the New York Times. Leopold highlights the State Department as already the most reluctant of government agencies to respond to FOIA requests. The ongoing cuts and departures will only exacerbate its bad reputation. Leopold alone has 50 requests pending with state. But the Department of Homeland Security isn't much better. Under Trump, it has a new chief privacy officer and FOIA officer, an interesting combination of the two posts in one, in the shape of Roman Jankowski, who comes direct from the Conservative Heritage Foundation, which did so much planning for Trump's 2024 return. He recently ordered his staff to stop producing any records in response to new FOIA requests. His attempt at a clever excuse for this stoppage is that the staff have first to clear out their backlog of requests, which go back to 2018. Leopold's expert reckoning is that these currently amount to a pile of 200,000 requests, a monumental slab of material that's bound to induce much foot-dragging. We can inevitably look forward to the next 3.5 years with Trump in power being characterized by, among so many other rough tussles that will inevitably happen, an ongoing struggle between press and government to drag out the truth from the various hidey holes where it's being obstinately kept hidden. We should watch out for some especially important public interest cases. For instance, that notable league topper among FOIA applicants, the New York Times, will be pushing its request for details about the Federal Aviation Administration and the airworthiness certificate it awarded to the ill-fated Boeing 737 MAX airliner. Ill-fated for sure, with more than 340 dead passengers and crew to be accounted for. The Boston Globe will be trying to get a full account from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, of the total number and possible last known places of residence for fugitive aliens they're believed to be pursuing. The Los Angeles Times will be pressing the Department of Homeland Security for an internal report or reports that are said to find serious fault with the department's own running of immigrant detention centers. And, of course, there are thousands more. If you're interested, much more detail can be found in a vast catalogue of such pending cases maintained by the Cy Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. It's publicly available at the school's FOIA Project website, foiaproject.org, all one word, FOIA Project. That's all from the Media Beat this week. If you have been, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, David. We will talk to you next week. David can be found at themediabeat.com.